Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Have you ever felt like your marriage was on rocky ground? Or maybe you and your spouse just weren't connecting anymore? Or even struggling just to avoid conflict was all you had in common? Well, stick around. If that's your story, I promise that you will be glad you joined us for today's classic edition of Family Talk. Here now is Dr. Dobson to introduce today's guests.
Today, we have as our guests in the studio Danny and Sherry Silk to talk about building and maintaining healthy relationships. They talk about how you can create them and maintain them and recreate them when they've been damaged. So, Danny and Sherry, with that introduction, let's begin. It's a pleasure to have the two of you here.
It is unbelievable to be here.
Yeah, such an honor.
You have a master's degree in social work.
Yes, sir.
And you got that from Cal State University in Sacramento, where you guys live. And you're the author of 5 books, I believe.
Yes, sir.
Did Sherry co-author any of them?
She participated in all the stories throughout each of those books.
The stories. Yes. She lived them, didn't she? Well, the latest book is Keep Your Love On, and we need an explanation for that one. Sherry and Danny have been married in 1984,
right.
Yep.
And you have 3 grown children.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I want to start by talking about marriage today. That is our theme, family life and marriage. In fact, Sherry, you were a pastor of family life at your church. What church is that?
It's Bethel Church in Redding, California.
And you were there for how many years?
We were there for
about 14 years.
You folks are deeply committed to the institution of marriage.
Yes.
Does it break your heart, Danny, what's happening to it?
Yeah, I think the public image of marriage is really misrepresented. I think that there's a lot of successes going on. There's a great book called The Good News About Marriage. Yeah. And it's written by a statistician. She heard this that says half of all marriages end in divorce. And she started trying to find where is that coming from. And she traced this all the way back to the United States Census. That bureau was trying to communicate that it's a projection, that if things continued into the 70s as they were, we would end up with that. She said the closest it's ever been was like 34%, and it's generally more like 28%.
But even with that, some things are changing.
And, oh, for sure.
Marriage is deteriorating, and people are having difficulty in their relationships.
It's one of the hardest things you'll do in your life, besides raise children.
Yeah. You guys know that, don't you,
we do.
Personal experience?
We have a firsthand knowledge of this.
Yes.
And you're willing to talk about that.
Absolutely. It's part
All right.
of our...
Now, everybody out there in the listening audience, pay attention here, because frequently we have people who are here representing a commitment to marriage, and they tell everybody else how to do it. Shirley and I are among those that feel that way. I don't have all the answers, but we've made a good marriage. We're made for each other. But it doesn't always work that way. And as I have read the prep for today, getting acquainted with you guys, I think I read that a counselor or a psychologist told you before you were married that you shouldn't do it.
Well, you know, we found
that. Is
that
an overstatement or did that happen?
No, the Taylor-Johnson compatibility assessment.
Yes.
That was our pastor did that and then reviewed it with us. Those were our 2 premarital counseling episodes. 12 years after we had been married, we were at his house and we were bickering about something, and he throws his head back and says, "That reminds me of that Post-it note that was on your assessment. Remember that?" And I looked at Sherry. I looked back at him. Said, "What Post-it note?" He goes, "The note that came back on your Taylor-Johnson compatibility assessment. Remember that?" "No, I don't remember that." "I didn't tell you about that?" tell us about what? Now, both of us are leaning forward on our chair, like, tell us about what, Bill? And he goes, huh, that's weird. He said, for 10 years, I sent that assessment in, and I would get it back. I would open it. I would go over it with a couple, back and forth for 10 years. I got yours back. I opened it, and there was a post-it note. This is from a psychologist. It says, Bill, do whatever you can to stop this marriage.
No kidding.
But he never told us.
I said, well, no, Bill, you didn't tell me about that. No, there was no note.
He really owed it to you to let you know what you were getting into.
Yeah.
What was there about your personalities that he considered incompatible?
Just the measurements of those assessments where, you know, where you would come together in agreement and perspective or needs or affections or different things. Man, we were just pegged everywhere. We were pegged in the opposite direction. And we're very different people.
He used to describe us as, you know, I see Danny running backwards as fast as he can. I see Sherry running forward as fast as she can. We just had very different styles, grew up in really hard family life, lots of divorce. And Danny and I share this, but between his mom and dad and my mom and dad and stepdad who raised me, there was 15 marriages. That rolled into our what was normal. And even though we had gotten saved and were in church and all that, we lived this life of divorce and fighting. And I have 6 brothers, and survival of the fittest was the deal. You just came out swinging or you're just going to die in that environment. And Danny was raised by a single mom who was more passive and not a great communicator. So Danny learned a really passive communication style, and I learned a very aggressive one. So those two together, not a good combo, and we worked it out. But it took years.
Did you fight a lot before you were married?
No, I don't remember. We only dated for 3 months and then got engaged and then got married 3 months later. So
there wasn't much time to fight.
There wasn't lots of time to fight.
We did have a week on the houseboat that was given to us, a houseboat on the lake. And on the third day. On our honeymoon, we came home. We had a whole week. We came home. We got off that lake, being trapped on that boat together on the third day of our honeymoon.
Do you know how often that occurs? Do you know that the honeymoon is often a very unpleasant time of conflict?
Yeah.
And you learn things that in all the dating experience you had no idea of.
Yeah. Yes.
So what did you do? I mean, was the first year stormy?
We got pregnant 3 months after our wedding. And had a baby about a week from our first wedding anniversary.
Was the first year stormy? It was more like the first...
12 years.
I say 10. He says 12. I think we started getting better about 10 years then.
Yeah.
What kept you together, Sherry?
I think what helped me is I did not want to repeat what I saw in my family. I knew that we had to change. Like, this was my watch for my family. This is whatever I'm doing right now is going to roll into the next generation with my kids. So we just stood the line. And when I was in trouble and felt isolated and hurt, I would purposely go to people I knew that would help me, not people I knew that would back up how I was feeling and give me an excuse to leave. So I chose to go to good counsel. I got lots of people in my life that helped me stay in the game. You know, if you want to learn how to play basketball, you got to get on the court. You can't sit on the bench. So we just forged in and played the game. And
you know what I call that?
What?
In skiing, you learn to ski by skiing.
Yeah.
It's time on the mountain.
Right.
And if you don't have any time on the mountain, you don't learn how to ski.
Right.
Yeah. And in marriage, you got to hang in there.
Yeah.
And learn how to do better what you're not doing so well. Yeah. Were there times when you felt like it was over?
I think both of us felt trapped at times. Like, we're Christians. You're not supposed to get a divorce. What are we going to do? We didn't talk about divorce ever. Every night, my parents were yelling at each other, let's just get a divorce.
And was alcohol involved?
In my parents?
Yes.
Yeah, all in my family.
Yeah.
Drugs and alcohol. And Danny, I remember him just being really depressed, just being sad and sitting by himself in the backyard.
What were you thinking, Danny?
I was scared. I was scared that I had ruined my life. You know, I was scared that this was never going to get any better, and that we were never going to connect, and that we were simply going to endure each other. So I did. I mean, I remember planning out, you know, what does it look like to have a divorced home, and how are we going to do all this? And I planned it out in my head 100 times, but I never believed that was the right thing to do.
So it was really your theology and your faith that kept you hanging in there.
Oh, very much. You know, I would have to ask the Lord to let me go, and he wasn't about to. And he surrounded me with amazing people who I so respected their input in my life that it caused me to humble myself again. Yeah. Danny, have you humbled yourself yet? Oh, is there any other counsel besides that?
Did you pray a lot during that time?
Yeah. It was constant because our disconnect and our tension was pretty regular. We had brief moments of connection, but most of the time we were on guard with each other.
You've already said you were incompatible by your temperaments. Beyond that, why couldn't you make it work? Why were you in such turmoil with one another? Have you figured that out?
Well, it's an ongoing, you know, growth area for us, I think. Because we're so different, we need different things. But I remember about 15 years into our marriage, Sherry went in for some counseling, and she came back, and I said, so how'd it go, you know? And she said, it was really good. I had discovered that I have never felt protected by you. Mm-hmm. And I said, by me? How did I get in on your counseling? And I was so offended and just couldn't believe it, because I thought she was the bad guy and I was the victim most of our relationship. And it never dawned on me that protecting the bad guy is something you do. But it was because that was my grid, was I had turned Sherry into the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And I gave myself permission to not do my job as a husband. And so when she would get upset or she would get angry, I would protect everybody around her. I never even one time thought about protecting her in our relationship. As soon as my perspective changed from I need to protect myself and other people from her to I need to move towards her, I need to hear her, I need to see her, everything began to change, because her anxiety began to drop and I got to see a different woman than I'd ever had up to that point.
You know, we said earlier that your degree is in social work, so you will already know this, but many people do not know. I could have told you what the core problem was before you shared that. Mm-hmm. I asked the question already knowing, not because I'd read about you or know that, but because it is the standard conflict between a man and a woman. A woman has this passion to be loved. I mean, it is her entire life to feel like this man values her, loves her, will fight for her, care for her, and that he's thankful for her. And if she doesn't feel that, there's this ache inside, right, Sherry?
Yes.
And this great longing to be loved and cared for. It's put into a woman's spirit.
Yeah.
I think it's part of God's design for a woman that she needs to be cared for and loved. The man usually doesn't have a clue about that.
Yeah.
It's so foreign to how he thinks that he doesn't get it at all. And like you, he doesn't think it has anything to do with him.
Yep.
She's just mad all the time, mm-hmm. or depressed all the time, or unhappy over something or other. I'm not responsible for her happiness. It's just a whole different way of life. And I've heard it 1,000 times.
Yeah, me too.
And we're talking to people right now who are saying, that applies to us.
Yeah.
This is me. I've never felt that there was anybody that really cared for me. I have that ache inside. And a husband gets lost in his work. And he's, you know, finding satisfaction in being successful in his business, if he is. And if he's not, then he's got another problem. And he never recognizes that there are two parts to this equation.
Yeah.
And we really can, with proper counseling, as apparently you all were getting snippets of, you were starting to recognize that there's a formula here that can be handled better than we're doing it.
I pinpoint that as the day that things turned around for us was the day I got the revelation that it's my job to protect her. Mm-hmm. Every male I was ever around was a consumer or just very self-focused, never strengthening the family, never investing. Once I got saved, I had these men in my life who were showing me I just didn't close the gap because they didn't have a wife like Sherry. They had these, you know, gentle, quiet, careful ladies, you know, who were, you know, seemed to be respecting their husband. I had this, you know, I had a chair and a whip and I had this lion. And...
Is that you,
my
Sherry?
Your life would be so boring without me.
Totally.
Did you ever try to explain this ache to Danny?
It took me a while to figure out what was going on inside me as well. You know, I shared that I have lots of brothers and unsupervised time and a bunch of craziness going on in my family. And so it was always my job to protect myself, always. And because I have more of a dominant personality, it's loud. The way I would protect myself would be loud, yelling or carrying on or being upset. And so he would distance himself from that for good reason.
Yeah, that drive a man away.
And that would make me feel more alone and more up to me to protect myself and misunderstood. And then you don't really know what I'm trying to say. And when he learned that it was his job to move towards me, I no longer had to be all upset anymore. I wasn't bringing that intensity to my conversation, to my needs, because he moved toward me. And so there was two things going on. I had to learn how to calm myself down and not attack and get in touch with what need I was having at the time and express myself. And he had to learn to not shrink back, but move toward me and partner with me.
You know, I said Shirley and I have made it work, and we've had an absolutely wonderful relationship. I love her today as much as I did, or more than when I first married her. But we had to work through some of the things you're talking about. Shirley is a very sensitive woman who has that need that I was talking about. She was everything socially that a woman could want in college. She was homecoming queen. She was the most outstanding junior class girl. She had all the social success in the world and went with her 3 years and didn't know till we got married that she had low self-esteem. Her father was an alcoholic. She had never been loved by men. She had an enormous capacity to be loved.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we had what I call the talk. You know, it would be sometime during the first 5 years where Shirley would begin to feel that I didn't love her enough. And she would hurt. And it's often related to PMS, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in a funny way. I mean for real that she would feel at that time mm-hmm. that she simply was not loved. We would talk till 2 o'clock in the morning and get it all talked out. And then we'd be okay for 6 weeks or a month or however long, and we'd have the talk again. So all of that comes with getting to know the opposite sex and understanding how they're different from us and what they need. I would bet, Danny, that you needed some things from Sherry that she didn't know to give you.
Yeah, and we still have the talk about those things as well. Like, I need to feel admired, you know. I need to feel respected and trusted, probably most deeply. I need to feel trusted by her, that you know, that she would offer me that vulnerability that she was hiding with doing everything herself and taking care of herself. And so I never had the opportunity to step into that place of feeling trusted by her because she was doing my job because I wasn't.
So in essence, your marriage was a blind date. You did not know each other at all, especially since you only went together for 3 months.
And didn't have a clue really by seeing a similar dynamic as ours. You know, most of the couples that were around us were just classic, you know, dominant male, more submissive, passive female. It seemed like it was everywhere. And whenever you saw a dominant female, it was headed for the rocks. It was a tough situation.
But I'll tell you something you now know. When the doors were closed, they were having the talk too.
Yeah.
You can bet they were having the talk. Because everybody has the talk.
Everybody has to have the talk.
Yeah.
I don't read your mind.
Well, we're off to a good start. Our time's almost gone, but... these are some things that you all discovered together. We really do need to end by saying that you figured it out and you have a wonderful relationship now. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
And you love each other.
Absolutely.
And it's going to work.
We think it's going to
work. Forever.
There's hope.
Well, that's a little tentative, Danny.
I know.
Well, you make it work. Shirley and I never gave each other the latitude to say it's not going to work.
Right.
I mean, there was never a time when I said, I don't think I can live with you. I don't think you're the one for me. Never. We never did that. Because once you do that, you wound the other person, and then it becomes harder to put it back together.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that this conversation has been helpful to some couples that are going through the same things. I want to say to you all in closing that what you're experiencing more than likely is common to man and woman. And there are some time-honored solutions. There are some ways to come to terms with it. There are ways to inform each other or understand each other better. And counseling with a person who really knows what they're doing can be very helpful. You mentioned Sherry going for counseling, did you?
We never actually spent much time in official counseling as much as I was going through my master's degree and I was getting counseled just by becoming more and more aware of me and people.
Yeah.
And then we just had some really great friends.
I did go to a Bible study codependent kind of group for a year. I went every week and they were just friends walking through life.
And that was helpful to you.
Mm-hmm. Very helpful.
Boy, I wish we had time to even discuss your book, Keep Your Love On. We've really got to get to that. And if you will be back with us, we'll start with that book and what it is you're saying to people along the lines of what we talked about.
That'd be great.
That'd be great.
The book is available where?
It's available online, Amazon, lovingonpurpose.com. Anywhere you could get a book, go get it.
Well, thanks for being our guests and for being willing to let people see the unpleasant side of your relationship. You can't help somebody if you're not willing to talk about the issues that you have experienced and help them to come to terms with it. Blessings to you both.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson.
We will pick up right where we left off next time.
You've been listening to Danny and Sherry Silk today here on Family Talk. They've been sharing about their marriage with our own Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and no matter what struggles you're facing in your marriage right now, know that there is hope in Christ. Today, the Silks offered encouragement and advice to help you and your spouse be happy and fulfilled in your marriage. And they have even more to share, so be sure to tune in again tomorrow for part 2 of this powerful conversation. Now, if your marriage is not where you want it to be, I've got a resource suggestion for you. It's the CD entitled Becoming the Couple You Long to Be, and it's a production of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. In part one of this two-part disc, you'll hear about things that can go wrong in a marriage and how seeking God's affirmation and wisdom from older married couples can really turn a marriage around. In part two, you'll learn about the keys to a successful marriage and how important it is to find your worth in Christ. Just visit drjamesdobson.org, select the Resources tab, and then Store to get your copy of Becoming the Couple You Long to Be. We'll send you this CD as our way of thanking you for your gift of any amount in support of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute today. Go to drjamesdobson.org, hit the Resources tab, and then select Store. Well, that's all the time we have for today's edition of Family Talk, the voice you trust for the family you love. I'm Roger Marsh, inviting you to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.